When it comes to home insurance, Geico works for you. And since I'm the Geico Gecko, I'm here working for you too.
Hey, Gecko, can you record my voicemail greeting?
No problemo.
You've reached the amazing Rita. She's probably busy right now teaching music theory to neighbourhood birds or telling a total stranger how they can bundle home and car insurance with Geico to get the discounts they deserve. But rest assured, she'll get back to you once she's done brightening her little corner of the world.
Did that sound all right?
Nailed it. No notes.
Let Geico work for you. Get more with Geico.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Football cards, collecting and investing. Oh, look at that. Play those drums, baby. I don't know what happened. My audio just started playing all over the place. But he's Andy. My name's Carter. I'm so freaking excited to talk about anything and everything football cards today. We're going to talk about the big game and something very interesting that happened with Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes cards. And it is now, Andy, the dreaded offseason. Oh my goodness, there is nothing quite like no football on the screen. And Andy, our general topic, we like to start every episode with a very simple question. Were you happy this year with your football card buying and selling selections and collections and investing and flipping? And Andy, it's a question that's very important to ask yourself all the time is, are you still having fun doing this hobby?
Yeah, man. Absolutely still having fun. And, you know, I added some really great cards to my collection. I also made some nice flips. I did definitely, though, make some mistakes, just some blunders. I wouldn't say necessarily a mistake because I still got the card and it's still got potential. Like I still have a physical, tangible, alternative investment assets that I've got over here in my box. So it's like I've got future potential in some stuff. I'm left sitting on a lot of things. Till next year, it's all a learning experience. And with so many variables in sports cards, I'm constantly like going and looking back, kind of like reflecting on what I did and trying to make sense of how I can get better at it, you know, in a sense, kind of like when I'm playing fantasy football, I'm looking at the roster that I drafted last year. I'm like, this was a blunder. And then I'm going to try and make those improvements next year.
Andy, I make mistakes all the time, right? My Jameis Winston decision this offseason was really poor, and I lost like crazy, and I got greedy, and I wanted to see Jameis Winston lead my beloved New Orleans Saints to the playoffs, and obviously that didn't happen. We all make mistakes, but I think I'm still happy. I'm still enjoying this. I still look forward to talking to you every single week, and you and I talk basically almost every day about football cards. So what we want people to do that watch our channel is still have fun with all of this. I know sometimes it could be a lot of data. I know we all want to flip and look really cool and make big profits and all of that. But most importantly, make sure you are having fun and make sure you are not spending money on stuff that you don't have the money for. So as long as you're still having a good time with it, it's all that matters in the grand scheme of things. So my question for you, Andy, what was your happiest football card play and purchase over the past year?
Over the past year? Well, I'd say like Daniel Jones was such an interesting one, and I still like him going back to the Daniel Jones, but it was just such an interesting one because I was like before the season ready to write him off. I moved the Daniel Jones cards that I bought the year prior at a break even a slight loss. I sold them and only to buy back in like in November before the playoffs to then double up and make and flip them again. So it was like a really fun one. You know, and I'm like, yeah, it's just an interesting sales cycle on some of these quarterbacks where you could be a year early, and either if you get out too quick, then you kind of miss out on a bunch of profit where you could have sat on it. With the quarterback market is a lot more interesting that way. And then also, you know, some of the more common cards that I had compared to the more rare cards that I bought into this season that did better for me. So it was a really interesting learning experience.
My happiest one, Andy, was buying the Peyton Manning and John Elway card that is in the background. I loved it. I worked really hard to move up, you know, with Barry Sanders autos and all of that. That made me so happy. I don't care if that card goes to $5. The fact that I got that card with two legendary players on it, it just makes me feel great. And I know those guys don't play and they won't get like a spike randomly out of nowhere, but that is what makes me happy. Patch cards. That is my favorite thing. So whatever makes you the happiest, do it, right? So comment down below and answer that question before you actually decide to do anything going into the off season. Now, Andy, we did have the big game that just happened. From a football card perspective, I think the most interesting thing that came from the weekend was what happened to Patrick Mahomes' cards.
Yeah, a lot of people were expecting Patrick Mahomes' cards to go up 10, 20, 30. Like, the interesting thing is that the depending on which card you look at, they didn't really go up at all. So here you could see that even, in fact, like his base optic PSA 10 is down 13%, or like the base Donruss PSA 10 is down 9% over the previous transaction. Just looking at the current trend of the card. So you could see on some of these more common cards, even the let me go ahead and take a couple of these guys out because I was doing some comparisons there. So if we look at his Prism, it's break even, right? The Prism is arguably his flagship card from 2017, 908 PSA 10 pop, 2500 PSA 9 pop. And you could see even the, like, find an auction Thursday, February 9th, 4,200, a little bit over the February 8th auction, but there's no big spikes since the game. So, you know, that was probably the most interesting observation that I can see. And I think there's a few reasons for that. You could look at the cards for him that are actually trending up, right? Some of these interesting cards, like Rookie of the Year from Contenders. Look at where the average PSA 10 was before. You have this 95% increase, or these rookies, or this one from Certified. Some of these cards from Phoenix, Rookies and Stars, the rookies. There's a field level 14% increase. So it's nothing too crazy, but his cards were already super expensive to begin with, Carter. So yeah. I like always ask people, like, how high do you expect these cards to get up? These are not uncapped assets. Like, there is definitely an arbitrary cap. Like, there is a cap to the values of sports cards generally. I mean, there just has to be.
Yeah, and it's weird because of the 2017 Prism Silver aspect of his rookie card, right? It makes that base a silver per se, and it makes it look cooler than normal. But Andy, there was a time where that card was going for $8,000. I remember a sale leading into the 2020 Super Bowl of a PSA 10 Prism rookie Mahomes that went over 10K. And now it just sits at $4,000, right? So, you know, as Steve points out, there was already three Super Bowls built into his prices already. True. And you know, that's part of it, right? You got to get someone on the upswing. And Patrick Mahomes has been to five AFC championship games. He's been to three Super Bowls and he's won two of them already. So, Andy, I guess if someone is trying to buy a Patrick Mahomes card, it's just going to be up. But you do have to ask the question, how much higher can this card actually go?
Yeah. I mean, and I think the answer at this point clearly is that in the short term, it's not going to go up any higher, right? There's got to be a tremendous amount of personal collection value to you in this card because it's in the short term, it's not going to go. Where is he going to go from here? He just won the MVP and the Super Bowl. You know, so two of the biggest, you know, hype driven events of the year. So it's just not going to go up much more unless maybe, I don't know, they draft some elite wide receiver talent. They find a way to move up and draft some elite wide receiver talent in the draft, pick up somebody in free agency. Maybe, you know, you see somebody here and there willing to pay a little bit more than what the current prices are because maybe they're not following like a comping process. They're not looking at the sold transactions to make sure they're getting the deal. Otherwise, you got to look at this as like the cap, like the new cap. We're not expecting to see another massive influx of new hobbyists coming in, right? It's not like it was whenever there were literally tens of thousands of people flooding the hobby and flooding the marketplace at one time. In back in 2020 to in the beginning of 2021 to get these rookie cards, you know, so now we're at a new norm and his cards are pretty much capped right now. I think that they were way overinflated at the end of 2020 and 2021, and they've just regressed to a new norm, and they're incredibly expensive compared to any other elite athlete. That's why I was looking at Christian McCaffrey, Cooper Kupp. You could look at Deshaun Watson's market, even though it's down big time, but just trying to find other athletes from 2017 class where you can kind of compare because there's similar scarcities and print runs and stuff. So, you know, it's just his cards are just so inflated. Like Steve said, they got three Super Bowls baked into them already, you know?
I did see an interesting post from someone that had a Patrick Mahomes gold number to 10 select rookie. Sold it for $1,000 a few years ago, and now that card is what, 50K minimum. So my thing always goes back to this: if you get a gold number to 10 or something very short print that is numbered that adds to that gives that card a little extra something, then you might be cooking with something as far as something that could go up or could go down, right? I just think the hobby, Andy, has matured so much that anything base is not going to go up or down, where the number one aspect of the card is the grade given to it by PSA. But if you do have a number to 99, a number to 10, a number to 25 card of a legend, that will obviously be something that will go up or down a little bit more on performance than anything else, right? So it just goes back, Andy, you always preach it, rarity, 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 numbered, numbered, numbered. That's what I look for in every card that I buy now, especially the ones that I'm spending triple figures on. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. I'd say one of the great examples of this is we look at the other side. I mean, Jalen Hurts played his ass off in this Super Bowl. I mean, from a passing standpoint, besides the fumble, the one turnover, I mean, he really threw the ball well. And his cards, like, they have gone up. They were going up into this game. And I pulled him up here and compared him to Justin Herbert, because if you look at the base prism, right, and the base mosaic and the base optic, these on average are going higher than Justin Herbert. 164 trend on the Jalen Hurts prism PSA 10 compared to 148 on the Herbert. This is a big change from earlier in the season, before the season, right? Massive change. And Burrow is leading both of these guys. But just looking at the trend on the base cards, but if I go to the Optic Hollow, if I go to the Prism Silver, the rookie ticket auto, now all of a sudden Herbert's cards are a lot more expensive than Jalen Hurts, you know? So it's a very interesting comparison process to look at what, you know, card versus card, because now all of a sudden I'm looking at the Optic Hollow of Jalen Hurts, and I was coming down here and looking at the Optic Hollow of Justin Herbert down here, and those were, you know, more rare. So you can see I'm like just filtered by total sales, and it's considerably more rare. Like, I was like scrolling down here quite a ways to find it. It's considerably more rare, which leads to higher resale value. People have more money invested in the card going back a couple years compared to the Jalen Hurts. So when I get to more scarce card, there's a field level silver 550 compared to the Jalen Hurts, the white die cut for 226. But you get the idea, Carter, of how the more scarce we get, the more of a difference now back in favor of the guy who has already had the hype baked in for two seasons in a row.
Let's go, Jalen. We have been pro Jalen Hurts on this channel for quite some time. I'm bringing up a lot, Andy. You've made quite a few Jalen Hurts plays, and I know he lost the Super Bowl, but him and Patrick Mahomes were the two best players on the field. And Jalen, you know, highest PFF grade ever given to anybody in a Super Bowl. There were some big throws that this guy made, some big runs that this guy made on a slippery surface as well. He was truly, truly, truly spectacular. And, you know, we see Kamikaze Sports Card Hybrid. He's a big Eagles fan. Eagles losing both coordinators to head coaching jobs. What the F? Pretty crazy stuff right there. But, you know, I look at the NFC and I look at Jalen Hurts. I see him making another MVP run next year. They get every...
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylow's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 8/7 to 8/20. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Body back. They are going to be fine. I know replacing coordinators on both sides of the football sucks. I know there could be a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. The NFC East did get better this past year with the emergence of Dable and the Cowboys as well. But I still think the Eagles are going to be a dominant team. And it goes back to what I've said from the get-go about Jalen Hurts, right? Yes. He has got an amazing supporting cast. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You can make a case it's the best in pro football. But even with that, if you just use the eye test, you saw some of the big throws that this guy made. You saw the tight windows that he delivered, in particular to Goddard a few times in the Super Bowl. He's great. Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback. Mm-hmm. This is not a Brock Purdy game manager situation. This guy is a true difference maker. And look, I know a lot of people that watch this channel have a lot of money tied up in Justin Herbert stuff. I get it. Justin Herbert's a great talent. But I don't see light at the end of the tunnel for the Chargers. I just don't. I'm not in love with the staff. The Broncos hired one of the best coaches in the sport, and the Chiefs are the Chiefs. So, you know what, Andy, I look and I always ask you your thoughts on Jalen Hurts' prices. Last year, you could have got his PSA 10 Prism for $50, consistently $50-$60, and now it is consistently at $160. It's really incredible stuff. And look, I know Hurts was a second round pick and Herbert was a first round pick. I am just fading Justin Herbert big time right now, Andy.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right play to make. Because of the current price of Justin Herbert, they just haven't cooled off enough. And I'm not sure they will with how many hobbyists have actually already invested significant money, because you think about the all time peak for this modern market is going back to the draft time period of 2021 after the 2020 season. That's when Justin Herbert broke out. Joe Burrow was still rehabbing his horrific knee injury and Jalen Hurts hadn't yet broke out yet. And that is when Justin Herbert's cards peaked. And that is when he had the highest sales volume that really drove his prices up. So I think you have a lot of people that have a lot of money invested in him. And they're just there's a lot of holding. There's a lot of probably shenanigans going on with some of his auctions, I'm sure. And then you have a lot of people just not willing to take that much of a loss and wanting to value his cards a lot higher than what they should be. So they're not there. And that's why you've seen Jalen Hurts now break out in 2021 season at a fairly decent level. And then 2022, he actually way over exceeded his expectations. And his rookie ticket auto's values went from like $200 on average to now almost $1,000, $850 on average. That's a big increase, but we're not seeing like if this was 2020 season and Jalen Hurts did this, these cards would also be at $2,000. I'm a firm believer of that, regardless of how good, you know, the defense and the offensive line and the wide receivers and the tight ends and all that kind of stuff. I think that the quarterback is the face of the franchise still. In 99% of situation, Jalen Hurts is still the leader on that team. He's still the captain of the offense. He's still the signal caller. He's still going to be the quarterback. And in terms of the eyes of the hobby, like, it's just, you know, yeah, it's just a more mature market. It's a more mature market, and it's more people investing on merit. And he didn't quite get there, but I think they're obviously going to be contenders next year. So it's one of those situations where I would hold. I think the more rare stuff like you're talking about has some nice long-term appeal, long-term. And I mean, long-term, like 6 months, you know, plus type time frame.
And what did I tell you? Devonta Smith, the Slim Reaper, was going to have a huge playoff run, and he did. I think he's very, very, very good. And you move closer to the Waddles and the Chases in that draft class. Let's take a look at a few of these questions before we move on here. BM says losing the defensive coordinator won't hurt that much for the Eagles. Zero adjustments in the second half. Gannon gone. Obviously, I think Steichen's going to be the more important replacement, him going to the Colts. But yes, let's see. Miles Sanders was awful on Sunday. That was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. The Eagles running backs weren't where they needed to be. I thought Boston Scott, those jukes that he had in the game, were actually really, really crazy. Steven says, and this goes back to the opening question. I'm glad we did this opening question here. Steven FL, is anybody else burned out? I'm just looking at older cards now. I'll revisit the newer stuff in July. Andy, I'll let you answer that. No, go on.
Well,
Andy.
I appreciate first and foremost, I love the fact that Steven is not afraid to admit that he's burned out on ultra modern and modern cards. It can be a tricky market, and you can make enough like wrong purchasing decisions and not, you know, like not being able to realize profit on cards enough that you can get burned out. And if you're not having fun with it, then it absolutely makes sense to like dive into a different sector of the market. I think that's what's so cool about sports cards. There are so many different like sectors of sports cards you can dive into. And older cards is a really cool one because, it's a lot of gray chasing. There's some really interesting vintage cards out there. Or you could look at veteran inserts. So there's like some really cool inserts that we talked about, like the PMGs, the precious metal gems from the late 90s. But even the game worn patches, like you got into from the early and mid 2000s, like you're just absolutely in love with that stuff. And so I think if that's a sector of the market that brings you a lot of joy, you have a lot of fun with, absolutely dive into it. I've had a lot of fun recently, like diving into these recent XR sets. Like XR is a little bit of a lesser desirable set, but they're putting game worn patches into veteran cards that are actually jersey game worn patches and putting the game that the player worn it. I think some of these cards are really cool. So yeah, I've been more selective in my buying decisions because I got burned out on buying like base prisms and base optic cards and trying to flip those for a little profit because there's a lot of legwork involved, a little bit of return. And it's just the same card over and over again, just for different players. Right. So I think that you got to find, you know, you kind of like your niche and find where you have fun at. And there's so many different little sectors of the hobby you can get into.
Steven, I got burnt out on the modern stuff myself. And like, I know Andy and I don't agree on everything. I just going to agree with everything he just said. Find something that you do like, right? Like for me, it's the Peyton Manning era guys. That was my favorite era of the NFL. Peyton and Drew, mid 2000s guys. I just loved it. Right. There are so like, one thing, Andy, that I started falling in love with were Topps refractors from that era. There are just so many cool refractor cards that look modern. It looks like it was just printed this week, but it still has like a vintage look to it because it's from 2007, 2008. And I'm buying a ton of like Topps refractors, $4 here for this Drew Brees refractor, $5 here for this Peyton Manning refractor. And those cards have brought me a lot of joy. I know that card won't go up to 50 to 100 or whatever, but I like it, right? And that's the thing. You don't have to buy Zach Wilson. You don't have to buy Kenny Pickett. You don't have to go and look at my local Walmart, Andy. They're still Mosaic on shelves. Like this year, Mosaic, it's $35 for the box for me to pull a Kenny Pickett, maybe. It's just not for me, right? So you can do whatever you want. That's the beauty of it. It's a really good question, Steve. And I wanted to talk about this chart right here, Andy. You know, taking a look at some of these PSA 10s from the GL hobby account. And these are some very interesting numbers, and it shows you the difference between Mahomes and everybody else.
Yeah, it does. And I think this is a place where you can have a lot of fun at, and it doesn't cost any money. And this is actually what I am focusing a lot of time on right now, recalibrating myself now that the Super Bowl is over, now that the season is officially over. I want to recalibrate myself and compare similar cards, as similar as I can get, just like this man has done right here with the Optic Orange PSA 10, the Optic Aqua PSA 10. And this is GL's, shout out to GL's hobby account. And what he's done, he's compared all these players against each other, looking at their average. And, you know, like the Josh Allen is on the orange is actually pretty close to Patrick Mahomes in the PSA 10. But if you look at the aqua on the PSA 10, all of a sudden there's a big difference there. So I always find it fascinating to calibrate and hunt and compare players in the same or similar draft class or same or similar card in terms of scarcity to each other. And then from there, let that kind of dictate where I want to try and sink my teeth into the market and hunt for deals. Because ultimately what you're looking to do is reverse engineer, you know, try and find a ceiling, a cap on what the card value could be. We know what Mahomes is now. We know what Mahomes is. And then from there, reverse engineer it to kind of find your deal. And I have a ton of fun with that. And that's kind of where I'm finding a lot of fun at right now. And then from there, I'll dig in to see if I can find some deals and make some more purchases.
Yeah, you know, you always want to zig when everybody else is zags. A lot of people are going to be getting into NBA pretty soon. And like Bob points out here, I'm not burnt out. Patience is key now. Building up some funds, if a good buy comes along, keeping an eye out for some skill position players I'm looking to add and will look to flip next season. So, you know, there's plenty of different ways to look at it. When I sent Andy this chart, I looked at this chart and I said, you know what? There are a few players on here that really, really interest me. And I'm going to save my play of the week for a little bit later. But yeah, you know, patience is very important. And, you know, we got a big hype cycle coming up with the NFL draft over the next couple of weeks. But Andy, my question before we get into hobby tip of the week here is, do you expect a football card price dip over the next couple of weeks as fans move into NBA and MLB mode?
Yeah, I think you got to ask yourself, what kind of taste did a certain team, certain players leave in their fans' mouth, you know, because there definitely are going to be some short-term dips on, I would say, at least half of the league. But there's the other half of the league that there's not going to be any dips on, and there's going to be a lot of players that just stay level, flatlined. And then depending on what happens here in the free agency trade period leading into the draft, they could go up or down. And then the draft, you get a lot of hype and you get a lot of card appreciation. There's already people buying Bryce Young cards. Like if you go and look at the Bowman U University, the other collegiate products out for Bryce Young, like some of these Sage and Wildcard Onyx autograph cards, they're already pretty expensive cards. They're already triple digits, man. Like there's people buying, we were looking at them the other week and it's like, man, there's people buying these cards already in anticipation. So yeah, I think at just like any point in the year, there's going to be a dip on some guys, and those are the guys you kind of want to look at, like who finished the season really strong, but yet is still for some reason dipping, like Daniel Jones. And then, you know, you can find some really good deals there and say like, well, it's only common sense. It's only logical that they're going to add some serious wide receiver talent this free agency this offseason. And that means like, I'm going to buy because card prices are going to instantly go back up. Right. You know, even guys like Derek Carr, there's a lot of rumors around him, and Rodgers, their cards are pretty much like staying level. There's a couple spikes, little spikes on some of their cards, but overall they're staying pretty level, maybe like a 10% increase on some of their more popular cards, like the Topps Chrome and stuff, you know. And I think it'll stay that way because you also got to think about like just from macroeconomics, you know, the interest rates kind of leveled off. People are getting like a lot of tax returns back and stuff. And so I think some people are going to have some extra money in their pocket. And now you have no football on TV. It's like, what are you going to do, man? You know, we're going to start drafting best ball soon, but we're going to be spending probably some time on the Card Shop Live. We're going to be spending some time on eBay and wanting to get in some investments for this upcoming season.
We say hi to Jacob. That's a PHLer. Good to see you, man. Good to see JP. Lots of very good people in here right now. 38 strong. Hey, we just randomly decided to do it at this time. So it's pretty cool to see 38 plus of you in here. And Andy, before we get into a very special edition of Hobby Tip of the Week, we want to shout out our friends at Card Shop Lizzle, baby.
Yeah, man, they just did a live event. This was so cool. They just did a live event. I hope you guys were able to catch it. They reached out to me last minute because they found out they were going to get Barry Sanders live on the Card Shop Live app signing autographs on some custom super rare made cards. And this was cool, man. They had some of their big breakers, Geos, I think it was Phoenix Sports Cards and Sports Card Nonsense guys on there live breaking. They broke one of the Eminence, you know, that has the platinum bars. The platinum bar was not in the spot where it was supposed to go. It was literally glued on top of the player, the image of the player. It was glued on top of the image of the player. And the oval cutout where it was supposed to go into was just empty. It's like, Panini, you had one job. You had one job, Panini. This stuff where they do this stuff is hilarious. But, you know, it was really good. And you guys, it's so seamless to set up over there. We've got a link in the description below. We're getting ready to do our giveaway here in the next week or so because Donruss comes out. I think Donruss came out yesterday. Donruss. So I think I just got a notification for it. Yeah, man. So looking forward to doing that here in the next week or so. And you can get one-click grading. Like the cards that you win in their breaks and their auctions on their live streams, you can submit them through Geo's cards. And like, man, you have I think in a lot of, because PSA graders, there's a lot of subjectivity involved. I do think there is some advantage in submitting through a group submitter versus on your own. You may get a little bit, you know, I know there's some, that's debatable and there's some design controversy there.
Your honest thoughts.
Me? Wait, honest thoughts about what?
The new Donruss design.
I think it's a travesty that they didn't put the rated rookie logo in 3D format. You know, they put everything else with this elevated pedestal 3D coming out of the card, you know, like the player's name and the team and the Donruss brand name itself, but not the rated rookie logo. Like, what? It was just a miss, in my opinion. Like, it would have added so much more to the card if that rated rookie logo was also 3D. Like, it was just weird. It was like the designer thought about it after the fact. It was like, oh, yeah, we got to have a rated rookie logo on this card. Oh, yeah. You know, I was like, I don't know. That was a little bit of a miss, but.
There you go. I just sent it to you in the private chat. Put it up on the screen. I want everyone to give me their honest thoughts on the new Donruss design, right? Because Donruss does come out soon, and I do believe it is tomorrow as our buddy Ohio Stackin, I love that name, points out, man.
Yeah, you see that rated rookie? That's just a miss, man. They put the rated rookie logo like it's kind of floating. The top of it should have like a pedestal, like a three-dimensional aspect to it as well to make it jump off the card just like everything else does. I mean, it's just a total miss in my opinion.
So if you're watching live right now, type Y for yes if you actually like this design. Type N for no if you don't like the design. I'm just not in love with it. My opinion on it would change exactly what you're saying, Andy. If the rated rookie logo was three-dimensional on the top right corner, God, I would have loved that. That would have looked filthy. But the Donruss, it just, I don't know what it is. And I'm normally not one to be too hard on design, because design is hard. You got to print a gazillion of them. Perry says, Perry Collectibles, our guy, says no. Unbeatable says no. Charles says no. Ohio Stacking, this year's is even better than many years, so a step in the right direction. I don't know. I kind of liked last year's. But, yeah, Andy, I think we're all in agreement. They could have done better with this.
Yeah, you know, and the paper, the base paper card stock, it kind of gives it a cheapish feel. You know, it's not nearly as nice as holding the prism or the optic in your hands, or even the mosaic or select. So there's that. So it's really the rated rookie logo that you're after in these cards. And, you know, they have downtowns. Those are nice, like downtowns. Some of the Gridiron Kings, some of the canvas cards that they print are pretty cool. But I just really think they left a lot on the table in this base design. You know, the base design is normally really popular. I think it'll do okay. It'll be interesting to see if they deviate at all from this with the optic, or if they just roll with this with a chrome finish. Maybe they get it right with the optic and they like fix it a little, you know, they doctor it up, man, because yeah, this is definitely lacking. Not my favorite design. Does have kind of a cheapish look to it.
JP says no, but the class stinks anyway, so who cares? Huh?
Yeah, that's a good point, man. Most of the classes has been not great, except for all those guys the Jets drafted. The Jets. Man, the Jets and the Seahawks, they crushed the draft, you know.
And Chris Olave. Shout out Chris Olave.
Yeah, man, Chris Olave, dude. And you were hating on him before the season. You were not happy the Saints moved up to get him, and maybe that wasn't the right move, but he's been a stud.
He's a beast. He is an absolute beast. Now we get into hobby tip of the week. I will go first, and it kind of goes along with releases. You don't have to buy wax if you see it on the retail shelves, right? You just don't. I know you have the itch because you go to Walmart or you go to Target and you get meat, you get paper towels, you get all this stuff that you don't like buying, but you need it. And then you walk by the card section, Andy, and you see all that gorgeous wax sitting on the shelves. You want to get a blaster for $37 total, and you rip it and nothing really great comes out of it. It happens to me all the time. Sometimes I can't resist that urge. Sometimes I just have to buy the wax. And, you know, look, if that's what you want to do, I know it's a little bit different if you have kids, because opening cards with your kids is unlike anything else. But, you know, for me, Andy, I got to be honest. My hobby tip of the week is simple. You don't have to buy wax. That money can go towards a single of a player that you actually do want. So my hobby tip of the week, with Donruss coming out and all these other sets, it may not be worth it because there aren't a whole lot of big time QBs in this class.
Yeah, very true. Not a lot of big time QBs. So in terms of like the sealed wax value, it's got to be a lot of entertainment value, you know, and ripping the wax. I think my hobby tip of the week is going back to that spreadsheet we looked at. I think the big thing right now is to do for any of you collectors, guys on the quest out there, is to look at all the cards you have and like sort it by player, put them in, whether it's dividers or, you know, stacks. If you don't have a box, like get an organizational card box that'll hold like 1,000 cards, and sort it by player, and then go and like either DM me or message us in the Discord and we can help you prioritize. But I think you want to go and look at like kind of understand these players and where their career trajectory is at, where they're headed, and understanding the hobby hype cycles. And like guys like Zach Wilson, Davis Mills, these guys, I would be trying to flip them right now, even at a loss, because I see them as clipboard holders for a long, long time. Even guys like Baker Mayfield that still may have some hype, you know, here and there, people still buying, maybe Sam Darnold too, you know, guys like that. Like I would start prioritizing which guys you want to list first and not necessarily put them in auction, just put them in buy it now based on what the recently sold buy it now has been going for. And let it rip, man. Let it rip and go ahead and just move them, even if unless you want to keep them on your wall forever, like, you know. That's what I would be doing right now.
All right. So before we get into plays of the week, we're going to answer as many questions as we possibly can in the chat. If you do super chat, it's a good way to help Andy and the channel. We will go straight to it and spend as much time on the topic as you want, but we're going to answer as many questions as we possibly can here. Let's go to Ohio Stacking, who's been really good in the chat. How to organize thousands of cards. Okay, so not only are we going to answer, and I want everybody to share your best organization topics in the chat right now. We want to help out Ohio Stacking. It's an addiction. Ohio Stack and Mix mentions as well. Andy, I'm going to start with you as far as organization is concerned.
Yeah, I keep it into what's listed, what's not listed. The cards you see behind me are different because some of those are listed, but they're out in front of me. I see them every day. They're just my favorite cards. I like to put them on my wall. Plus, I'm a content creator, so I think it's fun to kind of show off some of the cool cards in my collection. But generally speaking, the thousands of cards I have, I keep the not listed cards here over here on my desk kind of in front of me, so I know I need to catalog them and list them. Everything over here is listed and is sorted by player. So basically, it's kind of hard to see it. I'll kind of lift it up, but I don't want to, you know, you can kind of see it, but it's basically one of these and everything in here. And I've got another box just like that underneath it. Everything is sorted by player. Index cards that have the player's name on the top. You can recruit your kids to help you with this. And it's a lot of fun. And you go through them and you just sort them by player. And then once you get them listed, you put them in the listed box. So you don't like have to scramble and have all your cards mixed together when you sell one. You go straight to your listed box and you can go to that player's tab and you find it. Boom, easy. It takes 5 minutes to prepare a package to ship out, right? I learned that the hard way, man. I accidentally sold some cards before that I could not find for the life of me, and eventually found it, but it took me like 2 days to find the card, like steady searching every day. So definitely that's how I would order it. And that way you can go like, okay, boom, you see a player popping off. Now all of a sudden you've got those organized by player. You can go and assess your prices to make sure they're where you want them, or you can go and you can make sure that they're listed for that player and prioritize that way.
Charles brings up, I've been wanting a solid answer on organization, so thanks for bringing it up. I'm going to give you my thoughts on organization. I am not organized. I am scattered, and it makes me hate sports cards sometimes. So don't be like me and organize the way Andy organizes, by player. I think that's the easiest way to do it. If you do it by team, players go from team to team and they change. So like me, I'm a big DJ Chark fan. So, you know, he's been with the Jaguars. Now he's been with the Lions, right? So it's easier to do it by player and alphabetize it per se. And look, if you're not organized, you can have stuff like this. You can have two Jeremy Hill cards and a Richard Hamilton and Gary Payton card that I randomly got. Organized, right? Now, because I'm used to being not an overall organized person, there is a little bit of a method to the madness here. But number one, invest in something that you could put on your wall where you can display your cards, right? So you can put your absolute favorite cards in there and you're always looking at it. It makes you enjoy the cards a little bit more. Then also, like Andy showed you, invest in binders. It's a good way to put cheap cards, just, you know, and to store a huge PC that you can give your kids or to somebody else. And then make sure you have these white boxes so you could put, you know, top loaders and all that stuff in there. So organization is key. I wish I was a more organized person. My wife destroys me for that. But yeah, organization is so important because, Andy, it can overwhelm you. Let's go to Perry Collectibles here. Have you used the eBay vault yet, Andy?
No, I haven't. I've had guys reaching out to Discord, and some of the guys are doing really well with the eBay vault. Taxes when you buy and no selling fees when you sell. So those are a couple goals for me this year, is to get more affluent with the eBay vault and also get my business license. When you apply, you get a state business license, then you can on eBay actually input that information and avoid sales tax altogether if you're a verified eBay seller, you know. So then you could avoid sales tax altogether, and that's a big portion of your overhead when buying a card. Really is, because it's a percentage of the purchase. So the bigger card you purchase, the more sales tax is going to impact your overhead.
Yeah, Perry, let me know. You could send me a message privately about the vault. It's not just eBay vault. PWCC also has a vault. My buddy Zach Rome uses it quite a bit. Vaulting has become more popular, right? At Dallas Card Show, there was a vault company that I spoke to for a while named Arena. So there's all these different vault companies that are out there. It's just understand with the vault, you don't actually physically get the card unless, you know, they send it to you. Am I correct about that, Andy?
Right. Yeah. It's a physical vault that similar to StarStock or ComC that they're storing your cards in and as the middleman. Kind of like a consignment, you know, right. Something like that.
Yeah. You know, for me, the tactile feel of a card is very important to me. So I don't know if I'll ever do vaulting, but if I did get into like higher end stuff and I didn't want to hold it, and someone else can completely hold it and there'd be, you know, no taxes or anything like that, I would look into it. I really would. I know it feels different. It kind of feels NFT-y because you're not actually holding the card. It's just, you know, someone else has it many a miles away. So it is very, very interesting. Yeah, Perry, shoot me a message about it. Let's go to JP here, Andy. I separate in boxes what's on eBay and what's for personal collection and then sort it by position. Very interesting.
So another reason why I do it by player as well is I can get a feel for how many of a specific card I have for a certain player. So like, I never want to be like drawing dead on a player. Like, I didn't want to sell all my Jalen Hurts cards. I kept one or two back because like, what if, you know, it's kind of like that situation. Like, you do want to sell on the immediate hype. Like, if I had four Brock Purdy cards, I probably would have sold three of them and left one for that what if. Like, really, like, if you already realized 100% profit in a player stock on average, why not sell, like, the majority and then keep one back for a what if scenario so you always have something. Maybe it's something that you take to a card show. Now you've got a negotiation piece, that kind of thing. So I think it gives you a really quick, good sense of all the cards you have for a certain player as well.
So let's go up to Stratman. I believe he is a new Questcaster. We want to make all the newbies feel great. Stratman says, I am a brand new collector. I have no cards in my PC. Who are some of the under the radar rookies are you hunting for, either sport? So obviously we're mostly football here, Stratman. And if you have absolutely no cards in your PC, you know, first off, you want to, for me, is list your goals, right? What is it that you want to do with this hobby? Right? Because it goes back to our initial question. We want to make sure we are all happy and enjoying this. So if you want to put cards in a PC per se, then there's no like real investing part of it, right? It's for your own personal collection. So ask yourself who your favorite players actually are. Is it Joe Burrow or is it someone random like, I don't know, Christian Kirk or someone like that? Then you start building from there. You one thing I think, Andy, that's very key when you're starting is have a bankroll aside. So your actual bill money and money that, you know, keeps the lights on, make sure your card money is separate from that. Andy, you have a family, you have a very successful job. I obviously just got married. So, you know, I've sold some stuff off to pay off some wedding bills and stuff like that. But Andy, I think starting off before you actually just go and start buying a bunch of cards is number one, setting your goals. And number two, setting aside a bankroll that you feel comfortable spending.
For sure. I think the number one question you got to ask yourself is what is your budget, right? And that's got to be separate from your life role. Like if you had a bankroll for sports cards or fantasy football or any type of hobby or extracurricular activity, you definitely want to keep that separate from what you're paying for your bills. And then like if you're just like asking yourself what under the radar players, like just look for good players, like look for guys, whether they're on a bad team, whether they've got a great quarterback, whether they've got no quarterback, look for good players. Like Chris Olave is a perfect example. Carter, and hopefully I'm not stealing your play of the week, but it's just a perfect example of a really good player. And the Saints have already been trying to talk to Derek Carr. They're already like, they're trying to make an upgrade of the quarterback position. They've got like, I looked at the Saints are in a bad spot, but they've got in terms of their cap space, but they've got like about $150 million they could restructure in veteran contracts this offseason. And they've been really good about restructuring those contracts. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try and make a move. You know, CJ Stroud was Chris Olave's quarterback college. Maybe there's some type of move they make to get him. Maybe, you know, if that's the case, his values go up right away. You know, you invested in a good player. I like it looking at players that were maybe injured, but that were absolute studs before they got injured, like Breece Hall. He's a rookie going his second year. He's going to have a lot of hype, probably a first round fantasy running back because of the role that he developed with an athletic profile comparable to Jonathan Taylor. So once again, great athlete and a developing role. The role is there. He's going to execute at a high level and put up some insane highlights and a big, big market, popular team. So it's kind of like all those variables go into it. And then you compare his rookie card values of something like the XRC to the other guys in the draft class, the Chris Olave, to the Garrett Wilsons, the Sauce Gardeners. And if he's a lot lower, all of a sudden, boom, you got yourself a deal. You can buy in right there.
Dash has lists of top five cards parallels that you immediately go to when looking to invest in a player. You know, once again, that's pretty straightforward for me, Andy. Obviously, Prism, Optic with the rated rookie. I'm a big Optic Hollow believer. I just think that that's always going to have some relevance. And then obviously, you know, this is a little bit more expensive because it is an auto, but the rookie ticket auto is just always going to be something. The level of what that something actually is up in the air, but rookie ticket autos go back into the 90s, right? I'm always going to love that set. So for me, I look, if I'm falling in love with the guy, the first thing I actually look for is the rookie ticket auto. I actually do. But you know, for me, Andy, it's still the same Prism, Select, maybe Mosaic, but really it's Optic Hollow and rookie ticket auto for me.
Yeah, I love the rookie ticket auto, especially the short print variation. Like look for the little V, sometimes a little P on the back of the card, or you can tell if they have a different jersey, and there's always a little marking on the back of the card you can find. When you find those, Panini's actually printed a blog on their website that says these have a print run of approximately 150 or less. A lot of people don't realize how rare some of these short print inserts are. Like, for example, the Optic previews that are coming out in Donruss right now or tomorrow, those have a very short print run to them, way shorter than what the base Optics will coming out later this summer. And then at the end of the day, it all comes down to like a supply and demand and the condition of the card and what kind of eye appeal it has and the brand recognition. And so you know, when you look at ultimately, that's kind of like what you're looking at. So I love the rookie ticket auto, especially the short print variations, the optic variations. I love any optic on-card autos because they have the rated rookie logo. They have rookie autographs, a lot of times serial numbers, stuff like that. If I could get my hands on a Kaboom, I would freaking love it because I still think Kabooms are probably the most popular and highly demanded insert, short print insert in the hobby. And then the downtowns are nice, but they're not quite as nice as the Kabooms in my opinion. And then a new one from 2021, Carter, was those the rookie Kings. Like some of the guys, like Jamar Chase, had the rated rookie chain his neck. That was super cool, man. So stuff like that I look for. There's some rookie cards going back to 2013. So if you're like looking at Travis Kelce rookie cards, for example, they made in Prism that year, they made a rated rookie patch card that looks really cool. And some of these cards you can find, they just have a lot of eye appeal. And they go up in price pretty quick because there may be a guy that's had this card for a few years, like new to the hobby, doesn't really know how to value it out, and is just putting it in an auction, and it sells for whatever it sells. The auction ends on like Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. All of a sudden, you get this card for $20 that's really worth $100, and you kind of hit your gold mine. I see guys like that in our Discord every day that are posting like flips like that or opportunities that they're finding like that. So definitely if you're new, you want to accelerate your learning curve, check out everything we've got to offer over at patreon.com/footballcards for sure.
I'm a proud patron and it's one of my favorite things to go in there and read. Really good word right here from Toa. If you're a brand new collector, then collect what you like. If you're investing, you need to educate yourself about the sport and how to study players. Too many people buying hype and no homework. That's actually how Andy and I became co-host, right? I bought a bunch of Joe Burrow college uniform stuff and I found Andy's channel and I sold it immediately and I'm glad I did when I did. So, you know, don't just go in buying a bunch of stuff if you're doing it for investing reasons. Actually do research. It takes, I would say, Andy, it probably takes 1 month of like good research to get like a decent idea. And then it probably takes a full 6 months to where you feel comfortable knowing all the intricacies and terminology and all of that. So that's what it took for me. And really, honestly, three-ish years into our journey together, Andy, we're still learning, right?
You're not yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely crazy. I'm also going to give one low-key set that that I like is Spectra. I like Spectra a lot because it's numbered and I just like the design of Spectra. Elite Pin Pals.
Pin Pals are interesting because they are on card rookie autos. You get the portrait photograph. So, you know, players with their helmets off. And, you know, depending on the color of the ink on the card, makes the print run. So depending on the color of ink, the print run is going to change. Like the green inks and the purple inks, those are numbered out of less than 50. And there's no actual print run on the card. So it's just kind of like this unspoken, you know, knowledge. And Steve, the eBay hitman on our other show, he loves pen pals and he loves to collect the rare ones. And so you can hunt these. They have them all the way down to gold ink. And you know gold ink, super popular. Anything with gold, super popular, always going to be in high demand. And those are typically number 25 or 10 or less. So I always think it's really cool. So it's like, all right, you know, sign 10 of these in gold ink, you know, Jalen, and then you give them the other and sign, you get go through different pins and stuff like that. And there's a little video out there on YouTube of, I think it's Zach Wilson signing pen pals at a show. And so you can kind of see that process as well. But yeah, those are pretty popular. There's a lot of collectors that like it. Like go to eBay. And if you think you like the look of a set, go and look at the sold items for one of the most popular players from that draft class and see how that's selling. And if there's a ton of sold transactions and you see it selling a lot, I mean, it's a popular card. Like people are wanting to buy that card. So it's safe for you to go buy your sleeper, you know, player under the radar in that card, because you know that if he pops off and he breaks out, that people are going to want to buy it because it's other people are buying this guy over here that's super popular in the same card.
Rick the Collector asked you, Andy, about Kyle Trask.
Yeah, his values have gone up a little bit, but they're still super low. I think ultimately he's a good gamble right now. He's definitely a gamble, right? He's definitely a gamble. He's not a super athletic guy. He's got some interesting statistics from like three quarters of a season that he played in 2020, where they compared him to Joe Burrow's 2019 season. I know that just makes you cringe, Carter, because it's not even like, if you look the full season and you put the full seasons together, it's, you can't really compare it. Like, no, you know, it's just not even close, but they did it. They're like, there's this famous snip from like half of a season where they compared to Burrow, you know? So, but a lot of people are hanging their hat on that. And University of Florida is a big college program. And, you know, so there's a lot of fans for Kyle Trask out there. And a lot of people think that, you know, it makes sense from the Bucs standpoint. He's on a rookie contract. We've got a lot of veterans, especially on defense, that we need to restructure, re-sign, and deal with. So from that standpoint, from like a cap space standpoint, I think it makes sense to give him a go and rebuild in other areas on the team. But I also get, if they want to bring in some type of veteran, it's just going to be tough on the cap space.
Yeah, average athlete, average arm. What does he do exceptional? I don't know if he does anything really like exceptional. You take a look at what he did at Florida. He was great at Florida. But what, like you mentioned, was he a Burrow level player? Was he a Tua level player? Not. I don't think so. I think in the SEC, he was a very, very good quarterback, right? He also was throwing to Kyle Pitts, Kadarius Toney, and running the Mullen offense. And when Mullen is locked in and he's focused, he is arguably one of the best play callers in the sport. But you know what? The NFC South is probably the worst division in the sport right now. There's a lot of turnover there, a lot of teams trying to find some kind of guidance. And I could see Kyle Trask piecing together a good game or two. But I just don't think he's it. Now, like you said, there's a lot of benefits. He is in the NFC, which is a big plus. It doesn't look like Tampa's done anything really on the quarterback front, which is also a big plus. I would just be careful, you know, spending a lot of money on him, because I just think he's average. I do. I think he's, you know, was a good college quarterback, but I don't think he was ever in the upper echelon of the SEC quarterbacks. And, you know, I think he's fine. I just don't believe in him. I just don't.
I think it also makes sense to pay attention to who we're interviewing and who we hire for offensive coordinator, because that could absolutely dictate what we do at the quarterback position. You know, like if we brought in Greg Roman, for example, you know, I think we probably would bring in some other different veteran quarterback. It would be a different game. It may be a different game plan. I don't know. I think it's going to be important to pay attention to that, the coaching hiring right now.
JP says, I bought a Peyton Manning Spectra Gold Prism out of 15 last night. Send it to me, JP. Say, I'd love to see it. Andy, you know, I'm a big Peyton Manning guy. Got to meet him a few weeks ago, which is really cool. Yeah, send it to me. I'm buying Peyton. I might buy it from you. Yeah, you never know. Someone asked me a minute ago, Andy, before we get into plays of the week, why you don't do basketball. I'll let you answer that, Andy. Why don't you do basketball?
Well, I mean, it goes back to the whole enjoying what you do and having fun. I think it would stretch myself too thin with everything else I've got going on in my life between day job, family, and everything, to really devote myself to basketball and baseball or any other sport outside of football. I'm also a bit of a perfectionist. So like, I really want to understand the ins and outs of the sport. And there's already so many complexities and so many players and team scenarios to track in the NFL that it occupies so much of my time to stay up to date and maintain an in-depth knowledge on that. And then you add in all of the sports card variables between all the different rookie cards and sets and print runs and grade conditions and all that, and price points and all that kind of stuff. That's ultimately why I just want to be the best at one thing. I don't want to be like the jack of all trades. I want to be the expert on one topic and know it really, really well.
Yeah, it's very key. From, and this comes from someone who does YouTube full time. You know, I started an SEC channel outside of just LSU. It's hard. It's hard to cover all the teams, right? And it's the same thing here. And I think, honestly, Andy, a lot of people make this mistake. They try and cover too many sports when it comes to your actual football card buying experience, right? So, Andy, as you can see, I'm a huge international soccer fan. Went to Anfield. I spent a lot of my savings on going to see my beloved Liverpool play. Andy, you can let everyone know, and I really do mean this, I've not even come close to getting into soccer cards. And I love soccer. I know all the international teams. I know Barcelona. I grew up watching Xavi and Iniesta. I know a good bit about, you know, international soccer, but it's hard. Soccer cards are different from basketball cards than it is from football cards. And I'm impressed with, like, the mojos of the world that are able to do all of them, Card Collector 2 and all of it. But that's their full-time job. That is what they do. It's hard to keep up with all of it. And I know we have a bunch of new people that are getting into the hobby that are watching this live stream. I would caution spreading yourself too thin on too many sports. Those guys know everything because they just do. That's what they do. And Andy, you know a lot about other sports as well. You know a lot about, you know, baseball and stuff like that. I think for me, I like the fact that we're just football cards because, you know, it separates yourself. It allows you to stand out. You are the football card guy. So it definitely goes a long way. Now, plays of the week, Andy. We might get to a few other questions, but we are at the 1 hour mark. Do you want me to go first or are you going first?
You can go ahead. You can go ahead and go first. I'm gonna parlay. My play of the week is gonna be based on a question I see here in the chat from a couple minutes ago. So
okay, so play of the week. Look for Treylon Burks. I'm still very high on Treylon Burks. I think he is an amazing athlete. I think injuries played a big role. I think Joshua Dobbs and Malik Willis being your quarterback played a big role. And I still think Tennessee, with the new GM, who a lot of people like, comes over from the 49ers, could low-key be a player for a free agent quarterback. And if, let's just say, a big-time quarterback goes to the Titans, Treylon Burks' stuff is going to go up because he is the youngest, most talented receiver that they have on their roster. So I'm looking to buy Treylon low right now. So if anyone's got some good Treylon Burks stuff, please let me know. I'm going to stick with Treylon Burks here as a guy. And then I'm also going to give one more here. This is a little bit macro and price dependent. His stuff hasn't gone down as much as I would have thought. I may need to give it another look. It's been a week since I've looked at it. But Dak Prescott, right? The NFC is so much softer than the AFC. And I understand Dak's playoff performance versus the 49ers was bad. But it was the 49ers at home, by far the best defense in the NFL, the San Francisco 49ers, right? They're not giving up on Dak. I don't think that they should give up on Dak. I know Kellen Moore's gone. I know I would be very concerned with McCarthy calling the plays, but Dak is still a very good quarterback for the biggest brand in the sport. And if they were to make the Super Bowl, his cards would go up. And once again, Andy, we're looking for the quarterbacks who haven't had that big moment yet. So I'm not in love with it, but if Dak stuff dips to a certain level, just got the Man of the Year award, I would look into making a move. Now to you, Andy.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to a team that's got a very, very massive fan base, massive market. I think they've been going under the radar the past couple months just because they're in a really tough division. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay. Out of the AFC North. And I'm going to recommend that you go and take a look at the Najee Harris rookie ticket autos. He's a first-round draft pick running back from Alabama. His role is absolutely massive. This guy is a bell cow. The Steelers finished the season strong. They've got a lot of improvements to do their offensive line, but I think Kenny Pickett is going to work out okay. I think he showed some really promising signs towards the end of the season. I also think he's pretty fearless. Like, I think he's a pretty decent fit for them. And, you know, in terms of the role, Najee Harris's role is just massive. Like, he's a total bell cow running back in a league where it's very rare to have bell cow running backs in terms of the receiving and the rushing role. And then he was fourth best running back in evaded tackles this past year. So, you know, when I look at his dominator rating, his juke rate, stuff like that, still very efficient running back. And this was a down year for him. I told people to avoid him going into the season because his rookie ticket autos were like $150. They were super expensive. Now they're 40. You know, now they're okay. Slashed in half, in some spots even 70%. And there is just such a long-standing, massive fan base for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they're going to be hyped up heading into September. They'll probably make some improvements to the offensive line this offseason. You got a lot of talent in guys like George Pickens and Deontay Johnson and Pat Freiermuth. And then you got the rookie quarterback and Kenny Pickett heading into his second year. I think there's going to be a lot of excitement and hype. And Najee is their bell cow stud running back from Alabama.
Najee! I love me some Najee Harris, man. And he's a big personality. Plays the game with a lot of flair as well. You never know when Najee's going to hurdle somebody. I know the fantasy community doesn't love Najee. They feel he's Trent Richardson 2.0. I still think Najee's got juice. I still think he's got some juice. And I think that Pittsburgh offense will be better. Greg says, don't waste your money on Dak cards. Hey, I'll say this, right? I've seen Dak play at a top five level before. So why not? I'm just saying, if it dips to a certain level, I'm going to look into it. But now go on, Andy.
Would you take so say rookie ticket auto, $50, same base optic, DeAndre Swift or Najee Harris?
I'll lean Swift because I think the Lions are going to be a better team next year.
Interesting. And especially if he's healthy, he's on the field. He's super explosive, right? And he can score from anywhere. So I think there's that kind of appeal. And the Lions could absolutely take down the NFC North next year. I do think the Vikings will regress, the Packers will regress, and the Lions are in a good spot for next year. So that's a close one, right? But what about okay, let's say Dalvin Cook or Najee Harris.
Oh, Najee. I think Dalvin's a little washed. I think he's going to regress big.
Alvin Kamara? Alvin Kamara or Najee Harris?
Well, I'm a Saints fan, so I'm going to say Alvin because I know I could keep that in. But Najee's younger. The Saints offense, I know a few of you said you're looking into Derek Carr. I don't know how I would feel about Derek Carr being the Saints quarterback next year. So, you guys let me know if you think the Saints should actually make a move on Derek Carr. I don't know, Andy. I've thought about this nonstop.
I don't think he goes to the Saints. We're supposed to get news today that he gets released. If the Raiders don't release him today, they owe him $40 million cold. So they got to release him today, which gives him an entire month, over an entire month right at a month, because March 15th is when the free agency season opens. So he's got right at a month head start on all the other free agents negotiating with teams and finding a spot. So I don't know. Something tells me he doesn't go to the Saints, but, you know, he has met with him quite a bit. Oh, there it goes. I literally, just as I said something to you, I got a sleeper notifications that the Raiders officially informed Derek Carr that he's been released. So, Good. Yeah, there's no way they were going to get on the hook for that $40
million. Let's go to Joshua Zawatowski. Did I say his last name correctly? Zawatowski. Is $199 a good buy price for Kenny Pickett explosive kaboom? I don't know. Explosive
kaboom. Oh, that's a nice looking card, man.
Let me
Have you seen those? The new kabooms? You gotta check these out.
I've got to now, Joshua. Let's see what Joshua's cooking.
Kenny Pickett explosive. I think I showed you these once before on the Chris Olave. They look, yeah, there they are. They look really cool. I like the new Kabooms.
I like that. I think
one of these is considered the explosive. But $200, I would say, is an absolute deal. $200 on a Kaboom?
Wait. Just the explosive one, not the Kaboom, is what he's saying. So is there... Oh, there we go.
Oh. Right there.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so. If that just went for $366. That one, I like that.
Still gonna be it's still going to be a rare card. I actually haven't seen this one. I was thinking of just the new Kaboom design. I thought maybe that was called explosive. But yeah, that's got a very Kaboomish feel to it. And the same design, everything. I almost thought that this Steelers text right here was a serial number.
Right.
But I love the elements of this card. It's actually got an actual photo too, not a caricature.
I like it.
I mean, you're looking at an auction right here that ended January 6th for $366. You got one for $200. I think it's an absolute deal, man. I think it's a great deal.
There you go. I just lost my voice with that cough.
Huh? Dude, I know. I can still hear that cough in you, dude.
I appreciate you flying solo last week. You absolutely killed it. But I was so blown away by the explosiveness of this car. I love that. Saints should draft the young quarterback. They are not built to win now, says Mr. JP. What boxes have Kabooms in them? That would be absolute.
Absolute. Yeah.
But there you go, Andy. Before we get out of here, is there anything else you would love our beautiful, gorgeous, amazing listening and viewing audience? Is there any other football card knowledge you would like to share?
Yeah, man, just stay vigilant and stay patient on the auctions. You're typically going to find your best deals in auctions, but that doesn't mean to just totally disregard buy it nows, because like for myself, for a prime example, there's definitely players I'm prioritizing right now to break even on or even take a small loss. So I'll list them below what the other available listings are at, and I'll still sell on a buy it now because you can only require immediate payment on buy it nows, and that I'm a stickler on that. So I would say, like, I just sold a Russell Wilson Prism the other day. It only had a small loss, honestly, from what I bought. I almost sold it for almost $100. So, you know, only a small loss, and I went ahead and sold it. I'm like, you know what? If you want this thing for, I think I sold it for $85. I'm like, you can have it, man. Go ahead. So let's do this. So, you know, I would say even if you're selling, I still sell and buy now. But maybe, you know, you make your prices competitive, man. Make them competitive. Don't shoot for the moon. Try and leave that buyer with the feeling that they have financial upside in the card. And you taught me that a long time ago, Carter. And it's stuck with me, and it's definitely been valuable.
Yeah, you can. It's easy to get too greedy in this, but just keep it moving, right? If you're getting profit on a card, take it and put it into a card that you actually want, or put it into another investment. Just, you know, always keep it moving. Right. And that will go a long way. Hey, I appreciate everybody in the chat, man. The live shows have been great. We like doing it around this 2 p.m. Central time. So that's where we'll probably do our Tuesday shows moving forward. So be on the lookout for that. Don't forget the link down below. If you want to support Andy in the Card Quest, is signing up with Card Shop Live. You got to use the link down below. And if you have any questions for Andy or me as far as football cards are concerned, you can always hit us up on the Patreon, patreon.com/footballcards. It's only a few bucks a month, and you get access to a huge Discord where there's a lot of people like Perry Collectibles, like Derek Richard, and a lot of smart people in there that are there to help each other out, right? So be on the lookout for that. And until next week,
peace. Boom. Peace out, guys.